Well, good morning. If I can get you open to the book of Philippians this morning, please, as we continue through our study in Philippians. So we're going to be in Philippians chapter 2 towards the end of this chapter here. So by way of a quick recap, we've got the Apostle Paul here in the book of Philippians. He's under arrest. He's sitting not knowing what's going to happen to him, if he's going to be imprisoned for a long period of time, maybe even killed for the faith in the gospel that he's been preaching. The last time that we looked at Philippians, we kind of ended with looking at Paul, how he had offered out his life as a sacrifice for other people. Despite the fact he was sitting in prison in a difficult situation, he was still looking out for the needs of other people. Although he was sitting in chains, the gospel hadn't been chained. So we ended up at Philippians, round about chapter 2, verse 18, the last time. So just picking up from verse 19. So we looked at the fact, as I said, that Paul had sacrificed himself. He was constantly looking to other people. He was offering his life out as a sacrifice for the gospel and to bolster and to build up other people. And he'd also held out the life of Jesus as the kind of perfect example as well. But as we get to verse 19 in chapter 2, what he does is he gives us another two examples of people of faith. A lot of times you think, oh, that's good, reading about Jesus and what Jesus done, but man alive, that was Jesus. I can't do that. And we can look at that the last time. But as we get to verse 19, what Paul does is he offers out an example of two men, two normal, ordinary, everyday men who offered their life as a sacrifice to God as well. And we can see and we can identify with these two men how they lived their lives and how we can potentially do the same as well. So two ordinary men that we see here. Two ordinary men given the opportunity to do something. Something small, something big. Just the opportunity to do something for God. And we all have been given that same opportunity in some shape or fashion as well. We can all do something for God. And no matter what that something is, he will bless it if we do it faithfully. So we'll just read from verse 19. And it says, "But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, that I may also be encouraged when I know of your state. I have no one like-minded who will sincerely care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are of Christ Jesus. But you know his proven character, that as a son with his father in the faith, he has served me in the gospel. Therefore, I do hope to send him at once, as soon as I see how it goes with me. But I trust in the Lord that I myself shall also come shortly." So at this moment in time, Paul is writing this letter to the church in Philippi. They sent a man with a gift for him, sent a man from the Philippian church to Paul in prison, a gift of money perhaps, or maybe a gift of clothing, warm things. And Paul is wanting to return back to this church, and he's saying, "I trust in the Lord to send Timothy to you shortly." He wanted to send Timothy back to the Philippian church to see how they were getting on, to give them encouragement, and also for Paul to see what kind of issues they were having on the go at that moment in time as well. Had they been resolved? What is going on with their church? So it was that kind of two-fro relationship which they had. And we think, you know, Paul would rather he went to the Philippian church himself, but he's in chains. He can't go. And he says, "I need to send somebody else in my place, in my stead." And who does he pick? He says he's got no one like-minded with him other than Timothy. Timothy is the most like-minded apostle Paul here. So what I want to do is to quickly look at the character of Timothy and why. Why is it Timothy that Paul would choose to go in his stead to the Philippian church? So first of all, Timothy was a believer. We'll just state the obvious fact right here now. Timothy was a believer, and his name means one who honours God. And through his service, through what he's done, through his actions, he honoured God in his life, not just in namesake, but also in action as well. When we look through the Bible and we look at the accounts of Timothy, in 2 Timothy 1:5, we see that his mother and his grandmother were believers. They were Jews, and his father was a Gentile. But Timothy was brought up in faith, and we see that through the scriptures, that from early infancy, Timothy was brought in the things of the Lord and brought up in the things of the Lord. So we think, okay, we can understand that. Where does Paul come in? How does this connection with Paul come about? And we see in the book of Acts, obviously, Paul went on many missionary journeys. But his first missionary journey, he went to Lystra and Iconium in that kind of area there. And that was the area where Timothy had stayed, where he resided. He stayed there with his family. And it could have been that during one of Paul's missionary trips that Timothy came to faith. In fact, when you read the kind of accounts of Timothy, some commentaries say that Paul led Timothy to faith. But as far as I can see, there's nothing in the scriptures that definitely say that happened. But no doubt, if Paul was in the area preaching the gospel, then Timothy would have known about it, and they might have crossed paths at that time. And it might have been that during Paul's first missionary journey, when he was in that area, they might have crossed paths, they might have spoke, they might have spent some time together. But Paul didn't at that time say, okay, Timothy, you're a believer, come with me, come on mission trips with me and help me spread the gospel. It didn't happen during Paul's first missionary trip. It wasn't until years and years later where Paul visited that area again that he came across Timothy. And he said to Timothy at that time, come with me. And what we can see from that is God has got a time and a purpose for all things. God has got a time and a purpose to call us into ministry, to leave us who we are, to be planted and to mature and to grow. God knows what he's doing, and he has got his perfect timing in our lives. The Lord has got plans for each and every one of you, the same as his plans for me. Every single one of you, God has got a plan and a purpose for your life. There's a correct time and there's a correct place for him to bring it into fruition. We've got to be patient for him, to sit and to let him reveal things in his timing, and to be willing to understand that and to wait in his timing as well. Timothy had to be developed. He was a convert, he came to faith, he was brought up in the things of faith, but he had to make that decision himself. But he then had to go through a growing process, a development process. He had to develop his Christian character to enable him to be successful, to go on mission with the Apostle Paul. He had to develop character, an attitude towards serving God. He had to learn the mind of Christ and the fear and the knowledge of God that we've read about before. And these things don't happen overnight. You become a believer, okay? Just say that happens on a Monday. By the Tuesday, you're not perfect and doing everything right. It's a process. And sometimes it can be a long process. And you might be many, many, many years down the line in your faith. And then all of a sudden you realise, the Lord's revealing something new to me that I need to fix. And I wasn't even aware of it before. We all need to develop, no matter how young or how old we are in our faith. And here, Paul would have known not to pluck a new convert out and to take him on this massive missionary journey, because the person had to be tested first of all. Are they strong enough in their faith? Are they mature enough in their faith? Paul needed to depend on the people round about him. And that would be why he didn't pluck him during his first missionary journey, but waited until the second one. So what we can see is Timothy developed in his Christian character and his attitude towards service. And what we read in the book of Acts is that the people round about him in his hometown held Timothy in high esteem. They told Paul during the second missionary journey in Acts, this man Timothy, he's really developed, and people thought highly of him. So Timothy was recognised for the character that he had and the servant attitude that he had in his hometown. And that reached the words of Paul, and that's why he then had this kind of bond with Paul, and Paul could take him forward in the things of God. So Timothy and Paul eventually developed that bond. They had this kind of working together that we read in the book of Philippians here and through the book of Acts and many other accounts through the Bible as well. But what we really want to focus on is that Paul saw Timothy, and he saw Timothy develop in the things of God. Timothy learned. And he learned more, and he learned more until he came to that point of mature faith. If we want to be a Timothy type of person, then we can take some lessons from him. And the first one is we need to develop a servant's heart and a servant's mind. Verse 20, you know, I've got no one like-minded who will sincerely care for your state. That is what Paul said about Timothy here. So Timothy cared for people. He cared for what they were going through, their hardships, their needs. Whatever the people were going through, Timothy's heart was towards them. He wanted to help them. But not only that, read the actual words, who will sincerely care. How many people do you come across that might want to help you out a bit? You think, aye, what are you doing it for? You know that people are helping you, but you think you've got an ulterior motive. Paul is saying here, Timothy will sincerely care. He's not out for anything for his own sake. He's not trying to gain any brownie points, anything for himself, but he will sincerely care for you 100%. It's not about him. It's not about anything else. It's just about you and Timothy wanting to help you for God's sake, for his name's sake. He wasn't interested in people seeing him serve. Look at me, look how good I am serving you. Look at all the things I'm doing. He just wanted to help people. And that is why Paul could say he's like-minded with me, because all I care for is the things of God, and Timothy is the exact same. So he was like-minded with Paul in that regards. And it was a privilege and an honour for Timothy to be able to serve. And that's another thing, he had that attitude that when he served, he didn't do it under duress. He didn't do it because of necessity. He didn't do it because people will expect me to do that, so I better just do it anyway. He wanted to do it because he was sincere. He was sincere in all of the service that he put in for other people. And as I was reading this, I was reminded, obviously, if you're looking at Timothy, you need to go and look at 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy, the epistles in the Bible here. In 1 Timothy 4:12 it says, "Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, and in purity." And that really is what Timothy reflected. And Paul could see that in Timothy's life. While Timothy was left in his hometown to be planted, to be rooted, to grow, to develop, he was developing in all of these things here, in his conduct, in his word, in his spirit, in his purity. He'd spent time in his hometown honing all those skills to enable him to then go on with Paul and do great things. He was planted where he was and rooted, and he grew for a purpose. And his youth wasn't a hindrance. Your youth isn't a hindrance. Your old age isn't a hindrance. No matter what stage you are at in life, nothing is a hindrance if you have the right character and the right attitude towards God and towards service here. What we see is in the school of God, it's availability and not ability that counts. If you make yourself available to God and you're sincere with it, whatever you need for the task that God calls you into, he'll deal with your needs. But if you make yourself available, he will use you. And that is what Timothy had done. He'd made himself available to be used in his hometown, and it was seen and it was regarded. And when Paul came back and seen him, all the people spoke about how good Timothy was. So if we want to be used for God, if we want to be used in any area of service, make yourself available. Don't do it to be seen to be doing it. Don't do it to gain brownie points, but just do it because you genuinely want to do it. And that is where God will honour the service that you undertake for God. So if that is our natural inclination, then all the rest of the pieces will fall into play, as they did with Timothy here. The second point I want to raise from the life of Timothy is he was mentored by Paul in how to serve. He developed his character, he developed all these attributes, he developed the personal characteristics that he needed to move forward. But then secondly, Paul still stood by his side and mentored him in the hows and the wherefores to actually serve and move forward. In verse 22 it says that he had proven his character, and that as a son with his father, he served with me in the gospel. So he served with Paul in the gospel as a son with his father. So as I said, Timothy was left in his local fellowship to develop, and then Paul came along when he'd matured and brought him forward with him into the missionary journeys in the future. But he then had to come under Paul, come under Paul's authority, and again learn how to teach, how to minister, how to deal with various different situations and things that he might come across when he was on his journeys with Paul. And we see from the scriptures that Timothy was very faithful with that. Paul taught him many things, no doubt, through the different journeys that they undertook for God. And in Acts 16, verse 2, I think I mentioned this before, in Timothy's hometown it says, he was well spoken of by the brethren who were at Lystra and Iconium, and Paul wanted to have him go on with him. So he was well spoken of his local people. But then he went forward in the things of the Lord. Paul then recognised and said, you're well spoken of in your hometown, but now I can say you are working with me as a son works with his father. That is how I regard you. You are regarded well in your hometown, but I regard you so much here now as well, because you have developed that Christian character. You've abided in the things of God and came to that point where you can be used mightily for God. And I think it's very good advice to not to try and run before you can walk. A lot of times we're sincere in wanting to serve and we want to do X, Y and Z, but maybe our biblical understanding is maybe not as good as it should be for the things we want to step into. And sometimes, as I said, it's availability that counts, not ability, but sometimes we want to run before we can walk as well, so we've got to kind of take two aspects into account. I've got a wee quote here, and it's from a Bible teacher, Warren Wiersbe, which I thought was quite a good one. And it says, don't let your branches go out further than your roots go deep. So don't let your branches go out further than your roots grow deep. If you do, you will eventually topple. Make sure you're rooted deeply in the things of God. Make sure you've got a Paul by your side who can mentor you, that can speak to you, that can show you the areas that you need to develop within. Because none of us want to topple over and fall down. We want to avoid that from taking place. And Timothy allowed Paul to have that relationship with him. They had that very, very special close bond together where Timothy was the protege and Paul was the mentor. And they worked very, very well together. And no doubt Paul would continue to bring Timothy forward and grow the kind of things of the Lord within Timothy. He would mentor him, he would shadow him, he would give him feedback, he would point out the areas that he would maybe need to develop more. And we all need people like that in our lives, no matter how new in our spiritual journey we are or how far on we are. We can all grow, we can all develop, and there's always something in our life we need to focus on. So make sure you get people round about you that can help you in those aspects there. Don't close yourself off in letting other people speak into your life. Listen and take things to the Word of God and develop. So Timothy, no doubt, would have worked side by side with Paul. Paul would have given him opportunities to minister and give him feedback. He would teach him and then give him the chance to put things into play. And that's what we need to do as well. If you're taught in things, if you're rooted in the Bible, if you've got the biblical understanding and knowledge, find some area where you can actually serve and put it into play. And there's somebody by your side that can help you do that, somebody more mature, somebody with the biblical understanding that you trust, and actually do something with the learning that you have got. So we need to make sure we've got a balance of understanding and opportunity. Make sure we've got them in equal balance as well. So Timothy, he was a hearer of the word, but he was a very, very keen doer of the word as well. We need to try and be the same. To be faithful, to be teachable, and to develop that good reputation amongst those round about us. So as I said, out of all the believers that Paul knew, think about the Apostle Paul. He went on these missionary trips, planted churches, had all these believers round about him. How many believers do you think Paul would have known? I'm not asking for an answer. I don't actually know, but it'd be quite a lot. And he had no one like-minded other than Timothy. So Timothy must have been one special, special person that he actually plucked Timothy out in that regard. And it was because Timothy had proven himself. He'd proven himself locally, he'd proven himself by the side of Paul. No matter what Timothy did, he did it with the right heart and the right attitude. And in some aspects, we all need to prove ourselves as well, prove ourselves before God, to do things with the right attitude, to do things with the right heart, and to do things that are biblically accurate as well. So we need to be prepared for that, to be faithful, to be dependable, and to be able to be respected by other people through the service that we offer up. So through Timothy, what we see is he's a model of a true servant. He had a true servant's heart, and he had a true servant's mind as well. And as a son with his father, he served with Paul. He was like a son to the Apostle Paul. So as we come to that, he says that he served with Paul. He served, and that word served is doulos. It's doulio, actually, and it's, you might recognise the word doulos for bondservant. We kind of looked at that before in Bible studies. So basically saying, I served with Paul, but I served like a slave, but not as a slave that's under the cosh that's needing to serve. I served as somebody that wants to slave away for the things of God. Have you ever said that phrase, no, I'm slaving away doing this, I'm slaving away doing that? Do you ever say it in a positive sense? It's normally negative, isn't it? But here, what Timothy says, I'm slaving away. I'm slaving away for the things of God, and it is good. It's what I want to do. It is my life. And I wonder if we can actually say the same. I want to serve God, and it's good, and that's all I want to do. And sometimes we're actually thinking that and we think, well, maybe my servant's heart and my servant's mind maybe needs a wee bit of development. Help me, God, because I'm not quite there. But Timothy was that type of man. But this moment in time, Timothy was by Paul's side. Paul was under house arrest. Paul didn't know what was going to happen to him. He might be killed. And he can't send Timothy away. Paul wants to send a messenger back to the Philippian church because they'd sent a guy, Epaphroditus, to him with a gift, and he wants to send somebody back with a message to see how they're getting on. He can't send Timothy, but this man, Epaphroditus, he perhaps can. So in verse 25 he says, "Yet I consider it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, fellow worker and fellow soldier, but your messenger and the one who ministered to my need." So the Philippian church has sent this man, Epaphroditus, to Paul with a gift. And now Paul is saying, "I find it necessary to send him back to you. I really want to send Timothy, but I can't, so I'm going to send Epaphroditus back to you." And he says in verse 26, "Since he has longed for you all and was distressed because you had heard that he was sick. For indeed he was sick almost unto death, but God had mercy on him, and not only in him but in me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore I sent him more eagerly when you see him again, that you may rejoice and I may be less sorrowful. Receive him in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such men in esteem, because for the work of Christ he came close to death, not regarding his life to supply what was lacking in your service towards me." So this kind of unfamiliar man is mentioned here, Epaphroditus. The only place in the Bible where his name is mentioned is in Philippians. Only two mentions in this book here. And what we see is he's recorded here. He's remembered for being a servant as well. He's remembered for doing something good for the Apostle Paul. And he gets this mention within the scriptures here. We mentioned Timothy's name, what it means. Epaphroditus means lovely or charming. And we see what he done for Paul and what he does for the Lord as a charming service, a lovely service unto God. So this guy was a member of the Philippian church. They'd sent him to Paul as a messenger, and he became sick on the journey, sick almost unto death. But we see that the service that he offered up was good. And if you just flip to Philippians 4:18, and speaking about the gift that Epaphroditus brought, in verse 18 in chapter 4, Paul says, "Indeed, I have all and I abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, a sweet smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, and well pleasing to the Lord." So that is the gift that this man brought to the Apostle Paul. A gift that was a sweet smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, and well pleasing to God. So that is what he was doing in his service for Paul and for God as well. So if we look at the Epaphroditus, we see that he is a balanced man of faith. He's described as a brother, a fellow worker, a fellow soldier, a messenger and a minister to Paul and of the Lord as well. So we see there's many different attributes to this man, Epaphroditus, and he's very balanced in his faith because he's got all these attributes and got them all in the correct order and the correct balance as well. He was a brother, meaning a born-again believer, a brother and a sister in the faith. So a common bond with all the family of believers that are there. And it speaks of fellowship, you know, that fellowship between Paul and him because of that bond of Jesus. And what we can see is he's got these things in order. It wasn't just fellowship. It was a brother, a fellow worker, and all these other things. In churches, it's not just about fellowship, spending time together, spending social time. We've got to have all the other things in place as well. And it says he was a fellow worker. He was a man of action, a man of work, a man who put his faith into play. He'd done something for the kingdom. He worked and he laboured for the things of God. And he was a fellow soldier. He battled where he needed to battle. He went to the front lines if he needed to go to the front line. If he needed to plan and plan out the battle in the background, he'd done that as well. He was a fighter and a defender of the faith. He didn't grumble, he didn't slack off. And what we see here is he went on that journey from the Philippian church to Paul, a long, hard, arduous journey, and he almost died because of it. He became so sick almost until death. Why did he do that? Because he was dependable, he was trustworthy, he was faithful, and he was dedicated to the things of God, and he battled forward in the tasks that God had given him as well. And I wonder if we would do that or if we would have slacked off in this case. 2 Timothy 2, verse 3 to 4 says, endure hardships like a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And that is what this man did here, endured the hardships for the task that God had given him to do. And it also says he was a messenger and a minister. So no matter what needed to be done, if it was a battle, if it was a message, if it was a ministering to somebody, if it was having a bit of fellowship time with somebody, whatever needed to be done, Epaphroditus stepped up to the mark and did it. He didn't say, oh, I'm not called to do that wee thing there, I'm called to do this big thing. From the biggest thing to the smallest thing, this man said, okay, God, I'll do it. I'm available, I'll put myself into it. And we see through his life that he was honoured because of that attitude that he had. He worked alongside Paul, side by side with Paul, as a worker, as a brother, as a fellow soldier, as a minister. He done what had to be done in the circumstances. But he knew how to have all things in the correct balance as well. It wasn't all about studying the Word of God without fellowship. It wasn't all battling the kind of Christian battles we might come across and forgetting about other people and their needs. He had all things in place and he knew how to look after each and every thing that needed to be done. And the second point from him I want to pull out is he was burdened for the right things as well. He was burdened for the right things. He didn't count his sickness to be a burden for him. He counted his sickness to be a burden for the other people. He wasn't worried about himself. He was worried about his fellowship. They're going to worry about me because I'm sick. Oh man, I can't believe I've done that. I want to release their burden. What a shame in them because I'm sick. It wasn't a me attitude. And we can see he's so much like Paul in that regards as well. Paul was in prison and he's not saying, oh, this is rubbish. Can you believe I'm in prison? Look at me, I'm chained. Paul was going, oh, we need to support all these churches, we need to do and further the gospel. Epaphroditus had the same attitude as Paul did as well. He was willing to sacrifice the same as Apostle Paul was. What we see here is he was a mighty man of action as well. And I'm kind of pulling that out from Timothy and Epaphroditus. They were men of action. Sometimes it's good that we are spectators and we support people, but at other times somebody has got to be the active participant. We can't all be spectators, we can't all be supporters. There's got to be somebody actually at the forefront doing the action. And we see here that both Timothy and both Epaphroditus, if needed, they would step forward and do the doing. They would actually put the action into place. They were happy to be in the background, but they were also happy to be in the foreground as well. And Epaphroditus, his desire was for his church, for his fellow believers. He became sick trying to help out Paul, and he's saying, oh, I'm so worried that people are going to worry for me. I don't care about me, but they're worrying for me. And he says in verse 26 that he longs after his church. In verse 26 says, since he was longing for you all and was distressed because you had heard that he was sick. So he's with Paul and he's thinking of his home church and he's longing for his home church, longing for his home fellowship back in Philippi. He was full of heaviness because they were worried for him. And I wonder if you were removed from your fellowship for a week, a month, 2 months, 6 months, would you long for your fellowship the same as he longed for his? The same as he worried and longed for the people back there, the same as he wanted to be with them, to support and to encourage them. And that's a soul-searching question we can all ask ourselves and reflect on individually. And the third thing I want to pull out from Epaphroditus is he was blessed. He went through a lot of hardship, a lot of hard times, but he was blessed through the attitudes that he had. It was a blessing, first of all, to Paul, through going and delivering this message from the Philippian church. It was a blessing to his home church for going, for being the one to say, you're all talking about it, I'll step up and I'll actually go and do it. I'll be the one you can send out and deliver this message to Paul. It'll be a long journey, it'll be a hard journey, but I'll do it. So it was a blessing for the sacrifice that he offered to his home church by putting that action into place. And what we see is there's a reward for doing what needs to be done. He was a man that did what needed to be done, and he was blessed through it. And Paul says at the end of this chapter here, in verse 29, he says, receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such men in esteem, because for the work of Christ he came close to death, not regarding his life, to supply what was lacking in your service towards me. to say, see these types of people, the people that serve, the people that do, the people that put their own needs in the back burner and go and do things for God and for other people. Those type of people, you need to hold them in high esteem. Look out for them, pray for them, hold them in high esteem, put them before the throne of God all of the time, because they're the ones that are stumping up to the plate to do things. But you can do things as well, but these people that are at the forefront, hold them in high esteem. And what we might think in this account here is, okay, we're needing a messenger to go to the Apostle Paul. We've got a gift to give him. It's a long journey. Who's going to do it? And Epaphroditus says, I'll do it, and they send him out. Then the home church thinks, okay, sees him out. And they get news back. Oh, he's became sick. He's nearly died. He's landed on Paul's doorstep half-dead. Paul's having to look after Epaphroditus now. What a failure. He didn't actually complete that mission well. And what Paul is saying is, don't think along those lines. He was the one that made himself available. He was the one that made himself willing. Hold him in high esteem because he undertook the task for me. It doesn't matter if he became sick, that was a sacrifice. He offered up himself as the messenger. He offered the sacrifice, and hold him in high esteem for what he did. So we're blessed with the encouragement of these two guys here. The kind of things that they did, the attitude that they had, the character that they had to be able to undertake those tasks. And we have to look at ourselves and think, would we be the same type of people as well? Would we do the same types of things that Epaphroditus and Timothy did here? And I just want to pull out a few different things very quickly before we finish from Epaphroditus. And first of all, the first one is, Epaphroditus served. And I want to say that if you're serving, it doesn't mean that you avoid suffering as well. Because you serve doesn't mean that God's going to give you roses and rainbows and unicorns all the time. Afraid not. Epaphroditus done all the right things. He done it for the right reasons. But he still ended up sick almost unto death, suffering through the service that he had for God. And we think, you know, we might minister for God, we might do things, and we pray to God and ask him to bless us and ask him to send us out. And if it's not of you, God, shut the door. And we go all through these prayers. And sometimes just things don't work out right. But what we see here is that we can pray, we can send people out, but the expected outcome might not be the one that we expect. But God knows what he's doing. God knew that this would be the outcome from Epaphroditus being sent to Paul. There was a bigger plan in the play here. God knows what he's doing. He will work all things out. But what we need to do is continue to serve God despite the external circumstances that we have. If you're going through hardship, don't stop serving God. Keep serving him. Take the message from Epaphroditus here. Keep on going on. Be the good soldier of Jesus Christ. And the second point is, as we look at his ministry here, we can see that plans can fail. Plans can fail. And that doesn't mean that if a plan fails that we are a failure. We are only a failure if we do not learn from what has happened and repeat the same mistakes time after time. One of the biggest tools that God can use is a failure in a plan that we have put into place. How many times have we learned through mistakes? We learn through mistakes a lot more than we do from the good things and the successful things, but often learn through mistakes, and they're used to hone into teachers and to develop character within us. And that is one of the things that God can use as well. It doesn't set us up for a failure, but he knows the plan that we're taking, and he knows what we're going to learn in the circumstances in which we will learn the most. So failing doesn't make you a failure, but failing to learn from it does make us a failure. We never plan to fail, but the truth is that sometimes things just do not work out the way that we have planned them to be. Sometimes it's because it's our plan and not God's plan, but sometimes God's plan is, I'm going to take you down this road and it's not going to work out the way that you think it's going to work out, and that is going to be your teaching experience, and you will learn a whole lot through it. It might not be easy, but endure hardship like a good soldier and you will learn from it and be the better for the situation as well. And the other point I want to make is that Epaphroditus was a man in the shadows, not in the limelight. Who is Paul's number one? Who is his stand-in? Timothy. I want to send you Timothy. He's light-minded. He's my number one guy. I don't really want to send Epaphroditus to you. I want to send Timothy. But who did he have to send? He had to send his number two. Not everyone likes a position of a number two or a number three or that position in the back rows. And it says Timothy was his son in the faith, but Epaphroditus was a brother. Timothy was the one with the closer bond. And what we can say is it can be difficult seeing somebody in that preferential position. But in the things of God and in family situations, we've all got different relationships, different kind of bonds, and through time, those change. At this moment in time, Timothy was number one, but circumstances turned out that Epaphroditus had to take Timothy's place. Timothy replaced Paul, and then Epaphroditus had to replace Timothy in this plan of action here. And I want to say is, however you might want to serve for the things of God, if it's at the forefront, excellent. If it's at the background, excellent. If it's in between, excellent. It doesn't matter where you're serving. Have the correct attitude and be sincere in your service, and God will bless you through it. Epaphroditus wasn't the at-the-front person. We see that from the scriptures here. He was a messenger man. He just went and done what needed to be done, and he didn't mind. He didn't mind what position he was in. He just served and done it for God. He didn't mind being a messenger, but then again, he didn't mind being at the forefront of things as well. God calls us all to different roles, to different ministries, and I want to ask you the question, are you okay being at the background? Are you happy with that? And then I'll ask you another question. If you're happy with that, what if God serves you to the foreground? Are you happy with that as well? Of course, the real answer should be, yes, I'm happy wherever God puts me, but sometimes that's not what our heart tells us. We might be the type of person that we just want to hide at the back all the time. Do not put me at the front, God. Don't you dare. But then we might be, what are you putting me at the back? I'm a front person. This is where I should be. Serve sincerely. That's what Paul said about Timothy. He served sincerely with the right heart because he was doing it for God, not for other people. He didn't care what other people thought of him. He just cared about pleasing God and doing what God had called him to do. So we see from Epaphroditus, it was a one-hit wonder of a man in service. The only time he's mentioned in the Bible is here in the book of Philippians. He undertook any task, whether it was hard, whether it was easy, he would undertake it all. But no matter what task you do for God, it can be a dangerous calling. If your ministry is small, if your ministry is big, it carries the same danger. We all become the targets of spiritual attack. And we need to hold anyone in ministry in any shape or form, which actually includes every single person that's a believer, because we've all got a great commission to undertake. We need to hold each other in high esteem. Pray for each other, care for each other, look out for each other, be a mentor to somebody, and be a learner and a student to somebody else. Have those relationships amongst our own fellowships as well. So as we conclude, receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness. Hold such men in high esteem. People like Timothy, Epaphroditus, people that serve, people who do, people that put themselves into the place where needs need to be met. Hold such people in high esteem. Paul's words were to encourage the local fellowship to have the correct attitude towards the people that serve, the people that offer up their hours and their time to the things of God. That is appropriate for them, and it's appropriate for now as well. They live to serve God and each other. That is the definition of what a fellowship should be. You live to serve God and live to serve each other and live to further out the gospel as well, preaching the good news to those round about you. So in conclusion, we need to be encouraged and motivated by the types of people that are Timothy's or Epaphroditus or Paul's or whoever we read in the Bible. Be encouraged to be people like them. Hold them in high esteem and support them as much as you can. So just to end, I want you to find in your Bibles Philippians 2:21. Philippians 2:21 and Philippians 1:21. And I'm going to ask you a question. I want you to look at those two scriptures, chapter 1:21 and chapter 2:21. We've got a choice to make what type of person we are going to be, what type of a servant we are going to be. Philippians 1:21, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Or Philippians 2:21, for all seek their own and not the things which are of Christ Jesus. We've got a choice to make when it comes to service, when it comes to sacrifice. We either look out for ourselves or we look out for the things of God and pour ourselves in for his kingdom. So let's close in a word of prayer.